I don't feel like I did that much because I didn't do that much. I thought offensive line did a great job controlling the ball in the second half. The guys on the outside make some big plays because against a front like that and a secondary like that, it's very rarely are you going to get some chunk plays like that. I think they'd only given up a couple past 25 yards all year long. So you got to give guys on the outside credit.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Remember when we thought Cutler wasn't so great? Now Cutler's the cutest. Oh, look at that little quarterback. Oh, cute he is. Getting it done, man. Cutler looked great again.
Did you hear that number I just threw out there?
I did not.
His quarterback rating, or his passer rating of 151, the highest of his career. Only one Bears quarterback ever had a higher rating in a game. And that was a game I'm sure Dan remembers very well because it was Vince Evans in the 61-7 romp over the Green Bay Packers many years ago.
Hey, that's a great memory to kind of dredge up.
Yeah,
as we look at the next couple of weeks, yeah, we're going to go up and see those clowns in 10 days. So, hey, let's talk about how we used to bury the Packers on a weekly basis.
Here's the thing about yesterday. Nobody saw it coming, and you made a great point in the postgame yesterday, the must-listen postgame yesterday, the Hamp OB and Cause show, where it's the first time we'd heard a Giddy Cutler. What'd you call him? Giddy Cutler? Giddy Cut?
Giddy Cutty. It was contagious. On the sidelines, you saw Adam Gase, John Fox, Cutler, which is, you know, to the victor goes the spoils, is, you know, the coach used to say, and that's the way it should be. When you play well, and, you know, it's almost a release where, boom, you get a win, and the world is all cool until you got to cinch it up a week later and do it again. But it's been a long time since we've seen this team actually start to, right before our eyes, come together and play as a football team. We've talked, you know, weekly on this program about what has to happen and what needs to happen and what we hope will happen. And man, it's all starting to come together and it's almost official. It's playoff fever in the air.
Yeah, well, in Green Bay land, the Packers have serious problems. I don't know how they could play so poorly yesterday and not have undisclosed injuries, trouble in the locker room. What are we hearing?
Well, two things. Number one, their superstar double check is it, 2 weeks ago they went to Denver, and his offensive line had a horrible night, and he got battered. And ever since then, he has the same thing that happens to all quarterbacks. Everybody was saying, well, what's wrong with Cutler? When you're getting beat around, that it's hard to plant your feet and make decisive throws. And ever since then, he's having a hard time putting the ball on receivers. And what happens is other teams now, hey, they don't respect your offensive line. They start blitzing a little more. They start being a little more reckless with the rush. The receivers are being covered more aggressively. Defensive backs are emboldened. They start jumping routes, and hey, it's a compression effect. And you see it in Seattle last night. The first half, the Arizona Cardinals just smothered Russell Wilson and that offense because they're just compressing it. Same thing up in Green Bay. And they've had some injuries like everybody else, and they're just having a hard time dealing with it.
They're a hot mess. Are the Vikings real?
I am not a believer in the Vikings. A lot of people are drinking the purple Kool-Aid. I know this. Adrian Peterson still got it. They've got a good defense, solid defense. But I'm not a believer. And, you know, we had those guys on the ropes. I mean, come on. Think about what our defense has done the last 3 weeks. And if the Vikings are so great, why did they only score one touchdown against our little defense that is, you know, using baling wire and duct tape trying to keep itself together? So, you look on the chart, the Vikings are at the top of the division, but back to what Dave Innett was saying there at the beginning, Jay Cutler has quietly become the best quarterback in the NFC North, and nobody ever thought would be saying that in November.
Outside of Brady, there's no quarterback playing better in the league. Who thought we'd say that?
I mean, really, come on. Phillip Rivers, he outplayed him. Aaron Rodgers, we saw that, you know, Aaron struggle. Carson Palmer, he had a, you know, I got to tell you what, I'm impressed with the way the Arizona offense came back after having lost all of the momentum in that game, and he came back and drove them for that touchdown to take the lead in the fourth quarter. So is Jay Cutler doing well? Guess what? Just like Carson Palmer drove his team for a come from behind touchdown, well, Jay Cutler has done that more than any other quarterback in football. I think 22 10 play plus drives this year in the NFL, which is tops. Now, that means your quarterback is executing the offense and staying within, you know, the parameters of what they're trying to do. So there's a lot of good stuff, but, you know, we're a long way from being a dominant team. We're just, no, you know, this is a team that says, hey, we want to play, and, oh, by the way, we just beat you.
Yeah, it's fun again. Yeah, that's the thing. More with Hamp in a second, and Dave Ennett will ask him personal questions. Stand by for that. Dave, I told you, careful of the personal questions.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't
make anything
dare.
That large,
no,
that
no,
angry.
No.
Cutler, end zone, touchdown, second of the day for Zach Miller. Jay Cutler on that drive, 7 of 7 for 41 yards.
Zach Miller, the Jerry Rice of 2015. Dave Ennett, say hi to Dan Hampton.
Mr. Hampton, just one other point on the Packers before we totally, or in the Vikings before we totally leave that. They played this Sunday at Minnesota, and they still have two games remaining against each other. So, you know, there's going to be an opportunity there. The next three games for the Packers are at Minnesota, the Bears and Lambeau on Thanksgiving, then at Detroit, the team that beat them yesterday. So going to be kind of interesting. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the defense because it seemed like the St. Louis Rams, and I was a little surprised by the Rams' performance. I mentioned this earlier. I thought they would put on a better show. They couldn't block the Bears. They were holding on just about every play. They were called for holding on just about every play. I was really, considering the Bears are without Pernell McPhee, they've had some growth on the defensive side of the ball as well.
Well, two thoughts about that. Number one, you know, Willie Young was coming off of a serious injury from last year, the torn Achilles, and Lamar Houston had tore up his knee in that ridiculous little stunt that he pulled. Well, guess what? A month ago, everyone surrounding the team was under the impression that, hey, these guys are tradable and we don't need them, and how soon can we get rid of them? Well, guess what? Yesterday, when the Bear defense took the field, you talk about, you know, the little ragtag unit. Think about the money that Phil Emery spent for Jared Allen, who's no longer here, that was basically a bust out. Think about Jeremiah Ratliff, who, you know, went a little nuts and got in the spaceship, and now he's gone. And then, of course, Pernell McPhee, who was signed for $45 million. All three of those high-money players, nowhere around the stadium yesterday, and yet this young defense trying to grasp, you know, the nuances of a brand-new defense under Vic Fangio went out there, and they were the dominant defense on the field yesterday. So there's so many really good subplot stories here that, you know, it's hard to have time to bring them up, but you're exactly right. You know, the defensive line is, you know, it's a rookie, Will Sutton, who is an undersized afterthought at defensive end. Jarvis Jenkins is a guy that we signed for less than $1 million as just a body. And the next thing you know, these guys are not only playing, but they're playing the entire game and playing pretty darn well. So there's, like I said, there's a lot of really good feel good stories about this team.
You know, the dominance yesterday was all over the field, up and down the field. They closed hard. They didn't quit. They played for 60 minutes. You pick a coach's cliche, and it was all there. And now you get next weekend, and we'll talk more about this on Friday, but next weekend you get a Peyton Manning that maybe is going to be hospitalized. I mean, we don't even know if he's going to play. So, you know, here's one more cliche. It's really right out there in front of the Bears. It's all laid out in front of them. Take care of your own business while the rest of the conference or the rest of the division beats up on each other, and anything's possible.
Absolutely. And, well, you know, everybody is wondering who's going to emerge out of that game this weekend. As you said, Dave, you know, hey, Minnesota, they have basically played some good, solid football. But are they unbeatable? No, we had them beat. So it'll be interesting to see if the Packers can kind of scrape it back together and try to go on the road and win a game. But, you know, we don't worry about that. We got, you know, Peyton Manning, it's almost embarrassing how bad he's playing this year. He's had 14 interceptions in the last six games alone. So, I mean, is the Denver Broncos unbeatable? No. We've been given a great fortune here in the sense that, you know, in September you look at Denver and Green Bay back to back, you're saying, what did we do to deserve this? Well, right now, hey, I can't wait for these games to start. They're not only playing into our hands, but I like the way we match up.
You know, here's the thing. You can't really talk about playoff hopes and all that right now. But if you just keep winning, if you play like this down the stretch and you win some games, the way the NFC is right now, there's, I think, six teams that are tied with the Bears at 4-5. Now, there are a couple of games behind those 6-3 teams, but those nobody's really out of reach except for, you know, Carolina at 9-0, and everybody else is kind of maybe the 7-2 teams. But
well,
even them,
momentum matters.
It does matter.
And,
absolutely.
And 4-5 team with all the momentum you have versus the 4-5 teams that aren't going in the right direction, take
right.
that all day.
Right. Like the Rams are one of those.
Well, the one thing that I really think we have to kind of focus on is the fact that as we, you know, as we've talked about the development of a lot of these young players, you know, 7-8 rookies are making big contributions on a weekly basis now. But, you know, you could talk about Jeremy Langford, you know, even Kadeem Carey showed up yesterday running the ball hard. But right at the beginning of the show, it was Jay Cutler talking about the offensive line. And we really haven't talked much about what they've been able to accomplish. But, you know, when I told you what I think is wrong with the Packers, where did I start? I said their offensive line has started to fail, and he's getting hit around. Well, Jay Cutler, for the first time in a long time, he's able to plant his feet. He's able to work and move in the pocket. And I think the last 2 weeks they've only given up one sack a game. So a lot of the good stuff that we're able to talk about and enjoy, hey, you got to give that offensive line a lot of credit. And the offensive line coach, this guy, I look forward to sitting down and visiting with him sometime in the near future, because I got to tell you, the way he was like a mad scientist. You know, Jermon Bushrod was a high-dollar free agent that we signed. He can't get back on the field now because, you know, the kid they put in there, Charles Leno Jr., is playing too well. And, you know, moving Kyle Long out to tackle, everybody screamed, that's craziness. He flip-flopped the two guards, moving Matt Slauson to center. And so all these moves, if you was to have somebody tell you in August, okay, this is what we're going to do, you would have had him committed. But guess what? Not only has it worked, it's worked out smashingly, and they're getting better by the week.
And Matt Slauson, man, it's like Shrek playing center. I mean, the guy's huge.
You know, everybody knows who Kyle Long is, and he played his best game of the last month yesterday. He played pretty darn well. But Matt Slauson he's almost like the enforcer of the offensive side of the ball, and he's done a great job of not only, you know, zipping it and playing a position that really, you know, it may not be his strong suit, but he's doing it, and he's accepting that responsibility, and he's done a great job. And, you know, as much as we work out of the shotgun and as much as we see, you know, San Diego, a lot of blitzes, and we talk about Jeremy Langford being able to pick it up, well, guess what? It all starts by the center designating the package of the blocking that they're going to utilize on any given play. So there's a lot of the Bears are winning a couple of games and everybody's acting, ooh, this is great. Well, there's a lot of really cool stuff happening right beneath the surface that is only going to make us better in December. And who knows, maybe into January.
How about that? Who knew?
Ever think we'd be having this conversation?
No, absolutely not. More on the preview of Peyton Manning here or not, and the Bears continuing to roll through the National Football League when we hook up with Hamp on Friday. And nice job again yesterday, the Hamp OB and Cuz show with Mark Carmen bringing snacks. You guys sounded great again.
Hi. Thank you, my friend. And, it's fun to be giddy on certain occasions, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. Is OB okay, Kev?
Hi. I'm Ed Obradovich, and I have a puck in my pants.
Oh, no wonder he's giddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hamp. Back with the news next, 720 WGN.